This evening's scripture reading is Psalm 86, verse 8. That's Psalm 86, verse 8. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works.
At times we need to stop and to remember and to remind ourselves why we worship and why we praise God. Tonight we're going to look at the 86th Psalm, and we're going to look at this verse, and there is none like the God of heaven. And as we look at this, there is no one like him. And throughout this psalm, this we're going to look at this verse as the key verse in the psalm. The psalmist, which we believe is David, he gives throughout the psalm, God's traits are brought out in the following ways: that God has concern for his people, that God is all-powerful, and God is faithful. And as we look at this psalm, let us consider, as it's considered to be a prayer to God, but it's also an expression of faith that the psalmist had in God. Tonight we are going to look at the whole psalm, and as we do so, we're going to see that there is no God like God, because God is the God who hears our prayers. If we begin in verse 1, it says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." We see there is a petition of trust, and we see that in verse 1, that we trust when we call upon the ear of God. When we go to God in prayer, we trust that he hears us, that he hears the words, that he hears the request that we are offering him. And in doing so, we see and we go to God and know that he is a God that would bow down his ear to listen, and he would incline his ear and come close enough that we could hear. What that tells us is he is a personal God, that we would be mindful of us, that we'd hear our prayer. And we see this in 1 John 5, in verse 13 through 15. 1 John 5, verses 13 through 15, it says this: "This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." You see, where does doubting begin? Well, I think doubting begins at the point of not knowing whether God even hears us, or whether God even is listening to us, or God even cares for us. I believe that's where doubting begins. I think faith begins in the same manner, knowing, or maybe having a inclination that God does hear us. And that's when we start building up our faith and we start thinking about this and realizing through Scripture that God does hear our prayers, that he hears us, he cares for us, that he is personal enough that he would even be mindful to listen to us. That is where faith begins, having this knowledge of God. And when we have this knowledge of God and know that he is one that will hear and to listen to our prayers, then we can go to him and ask him. He said, David said, "For I am poor and needy." In verse 2, he says, "Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you." You see, we can not only have a petition, but a petition that we trust and know that God is listening, and that we can trust and know that he is able to help us in our time of need. We at times are weak. We at times struggle in our life. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 It says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. As we look at this psalm and we look at this time of need that we have, it could come in any moment. In any moment we could come and know that have trials and tribulations. We could be in need for God. And we need to know that He is there and able to answer our prayers. You see, we need God. And we need to trust in God. In verse 2 it says, we trust that You can preserve our soul, that You can save us, that You can help us. And so we see a petition of trust. We also see a petition of mercy. Verses 3 and 4, it says, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to You all day long. Rejoice the soul of Your servant, for You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You see, there's a plea for delicacy in verse 3. Be merciful to me. We want God to be merciful to us because we often fall short of what we should be. And we should strive then to be the best that we could be, to try to sin less each and every day. But we need to have that plea for delicacy where God is merciful to us. And we see that He is. We need God's delicacy and kindness towards us. We are in desperate need of the mercy and the grace of God. We also see a plea of desperation, for I cry all day long. The psalmist realized the inferiority he is to God, then humbles himself and petitions Him all day long. The psalmist poured out his heart to the Almighty God in the earnest and persistent prayer. When do we do that? Do we take that time to go to God and pour ourselves out to God in a prayer? How often do we do that? So we see that there is a petition of mercy, a plea for desperation, and a plea of delight. We see in verse 4, rejoice the soul of Your servant, for to You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. The psalmist asked God to bring joy to his soul, trusting God with all the substance of life by lifting up our soul to God. There is no other source of strength. There is no other hope but in God. Delight will come when God responds to the pleas with the appropriate answers. You know, when we go to God in prayer, we go and petition Him, we know that He hears our prayers and those prayers are heard, and we know that God will give us an answer. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. It may be not right now. But we need to know that God knows what's best for us, and that's why we can go to Him and petition Him and go before Him. And we also see in verse 5, we see a petition of loving kindness. It says, for You, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon You. We see in this verse the characteristics of God. Knowing the characteristics of God, it serves as a strong incentive for us to petition Him. We see the inherent nature of God is good. Psalm 25 and verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus told the rich young ruler that there is no one good except God alone. And as we look, we see the characteristics of God, that He is a good God. There is good in Him. There's no evil. Matthew 7 and verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? we see the characteristics of God being a God who is good, who is ready to forgive, who is one that has abundant mercy, and he is just waiting for us to call upon him. We must remember that God is waiting for us to come to him. And he is ready to forgive us when we come to him with repentance and prayer. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. Nehemiah is talking to God and said, "They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to the slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them." You see, we have one of the characteristics of God is he does not forsake us. As we talked about this morning, that we need to stay in the love of God, that by doing that, we need to be obedient to God. God's love never changes. God's love never leaves us. It's us turning our back to that love. And we see here that God is a God who is ready to help us, ready to forgive us, is ready and is there for us to call upon him. God is abundant in loving kindness to all those who call him. And we must call him in prayer, knowing that he is there and listening and ready to help us. We never should forget to call upon him daily to help us in our lives and to be thankful that there is no God like him. He is the true and the living God. And then we see also in verse 6 and verse 7, we see a petition of communication. It says, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me." We know in relationships, we have to have communication. And when relationships break down, it's usually the breakdown of communication that happens between whoever that is. And that communication could be a spouse, between husband and wife. It could be with your children. It could be with friends. And so we understand that communication has to happen in order for us to maintain a relationship with others. And in order to maintain a relationship with God, we need to be in communication with God. And as we call upon him, we understand that we need to be in communication with God. And know that he'll give ear to the prayer and he'll attend to my voice. And know even when we are in trouble, we can call upon him and he will answer us. We see this, that God is our refuge. In that day of trouble, I will call upon you and he will answer us. As we look at this, we have refuge in God. And we can call upon him in our time of need. And we can know that he'll hear our petition. Matthew 11 and 28, 11, 28 and through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As we look at this and understand that we need to take our problems to God. When we're heavy-hearted, when we're going through trials and temptations, while we're going through times of need, we need to go and petition God and know that he is our refuge, he is our strength. There is no God like the true and the living God, that he will take that time to hear you and to help you. There is no one like the God, the true and the living God. And there's no one like the God, because he does great and does wonderful deeds. We see this in verse 8 through 13. 8 through 13 talks about how great God is and how he does such wonderful things. We see that there's a recognition of his works by the psalmist. Among the gods, there is no one like you, O Lord, nor is there any works like your works. We look upon God, and I know I've said this at times. When I look at God, he can do wondrous things. And the one thing that just sticks out to me, that he can speak things into existence. That he can just say, let there be light, and there was light. We can look at Genesis and see at the beginning, God spoke and it happened. God should be praised. There is no one like him. No other gods. No, you know, man may come up and say, try to raise something up to be greater than it really is, but it still is no comparison to the God, the true and the living God, the God that we can read about in the scriptures. Man may, as David proclaimed in 2 Samuel 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, "For the sake of your word and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." Jeremiah 10 and verse 10 said, "The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King." In Ephesians 4 and verse 6, it says, "There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all." And we look at this verse and we can understand that there is no one that does the works that the true and the living God does. We can look at nature. We see this is a beautiful time of the year where spring comes up and we see the green starting to come back. We can look at God's general revelation, and that is we can see God in nature. And we can see him in his works through the nature. And we are without excuse because we can see that with our own eyes. We look at the mountains. We look at the valleys. We look at the beautiful scenery and the way things come about each year. And we can know that there is a God. And no one can do the works that he does. And through deliverance, the works of God is evidence. And we see this deliverance is in Genesis chapter 7 through 9. The deliverance of the works of God is evident by the deliverance of Noah through the flood, or in the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, Exodus 3, chapter 3 through 14, and the deliverance of the promised land in Joshua 6. Time after time, God has delivered his people. And now in these last days, he's given us his son. And that we should follow after him. He's delivered us. He has reconciled us back to Jesus, or back to him, that we can, through Jesus Christ, that we can be saved from our sins. Oh, how we should praise God. And oh, how we should give him all the honor because of his wonderful deeds that he has given to us, his works. And as we look at verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." You see, the psalmist wanted, if there's this God that is so great, this God that can do these wonderful things, I want to learn from him. I want to know more about him. I want to learn everything about him so that I can walk in the ways of truth and unite my heart to fear his name, that I would give him the honor and the glory that he deserves. Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "For the Lord God gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk in integrity. The ways of the Lord are true and just." And when we learn of his ways, we will walk in His truth. You see that God's love is so great towards us, and that what we can do, the only thing we could do, is to praise Him. And we see the last point, there is no God like our God because He is merciful and gracious. And we see that in 14 through 17. It says, O God, the proud have risen against me, and the mob of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy. O, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. We see here a plea for mercy, that God is the source of our protection. When proud men come, when people come up against us and are trying to hurt us and trying to take our life, or maybe just to give us a hard time, we should know that God is there. That God is there, and we see this petition of protection. And there's also an acknowledgement of God. The psalmist wants them. He says that, and they have not set you before them. You see, these people that are coming after us, attacking us, they have not put God first in their life. They may not even believe in God. But we see what the psalm writer says, but you, O Lord, are good, full of compassion. You are the God that we should follow. We see that not only is He a source of protection, and we see that He's a source of strength. In verse 15, as we just read, He is a source of strength. And we ask Him to protect us, to give us the strength that we need to go on in our life. The psalmist, it believes, had first-hand experience on God's way of dealing with him and knew God would handle things appropriately when these people were coming against him. We see, he asks in verse 16, he says, grant your strength to your servant. Whenever there is a need for strength, we need to go to God and turn to Him for that strength. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see how we are to put on the armor of God. We are to do that, but it says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Yes, we may have the armor of the Lord, but our strength is in God. Our strength is in Christ Jesus. And we see that is what helps us, His strength, and know that we are nothing and we need His strength. He is our source of strength. He is also our source of comfort. In verse 17, it says, show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be put ashamed. We go to God for our source of comfort. When we sometimes just need that plea to God for help, that strength, that we can know that God is there, He's listening to us, we can know that He helps us. And this sign was for the enemies to see and be put to shame. The psalmist was one who sought out this divine favor from God, that these enemies would turn away from their wicked ways, that they would turn to God because God would show them who He was. And we know that the Lord helps and comforts. It says, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. Psalm 46. Verse 1 and 2, God is a faithful God, a God that we can find complete comfort in our lives. We need to go to God. As we look at this psalm, and we are reminded of why we should praise God. We should praise Him because there is no God like the true and the living God. There should be nothing that we put ahead of God. He is the God who hears us, is mindful of us. And not only does he hear us, but he does great and wonderful deeds. And he is a God who is merciful and gracious. All praise and all glory and all honor is due to him. When we look at this psalm, we can see that we need to worship and praise him. We also see that we can go to God for help, for strength, and know that he hears us. You know, as we conclude this evening service and the sermon tonight, as we look at this, we know that there's times that we are weak and we need God's strength. Maybe we're weak and we sin, and we've fallen away from God. Well, we can know that we can go back to God. We can turn back from our sinful way and come to him in prayer, in repentance. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God is this all-powerful, almighty God, and he's given us a reconciliation. And that reconciliation is through Jesus Christ. We must believe in Jesus Christ. We must confess that he is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of our sins. If we can help you get your life right with God tonight, please consider the plea from us to get your life right with God. And if we can help you tonight to do so, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.